Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's get into it, shall we? Roosters defeat the Rabbitohs 48-6. What a performance from the Roosters. It's almost like a game of two halves. It's almost a tale of two halves where you've got an incredible outing by the Roosters, but also, you know, couldn't have gone much worse for the Rabbitohs. Like, genuinely couldn't have gone much worse. We'll stick to the Roosters initially. Really, really good game from the Roosters. And what is so exciting is a question that's been asked for a few years now at the Roosters is that, okay, this halves pairing, I know they haven't played that much together, but Sam Walker-Keary, is it really working? Is it not working? Now, it's only one game, so this doesn't mean that Sam Walker and Sandon Smith are definitely, you know, going forward what you would go with. But there's at least some evidence that they absolutely can work well together. They don't get, you know, they don't get shy in the bright lights. Sam Walker had arguably his best game in quite a while. Sandon Smith was outstanding. Dom Young, incredible. Just an all-around positive. There's so many positives to take out of this as a Roosters fan, with very, very little negatives outside of injuries, which we'll get to. Potentially Terrell May, definitely Lindsay Collins. What do you think of this game, Roo?
Mate, I love the performance of Sandon Smith. I think there is a real genuine chance here that there is a better halves pairing with those two. And Keary, how you make that work, I'm not too sure. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. Do we have any word on Keary when he's...
Well, you'd assume he'd be back at least this... I mean, probably this week, you'd assume. It's 11-day stand down, unless they've got an early game, maybe.
Even with his history and just how cautious the Roosters have been over the last few years,
I will...
Just says to be confirmed. They are the first game this week, and they played the Sunday game...
So maybe they might give him 2 weeks off. Yeah. And they've got, you know, with Sandon and Sam playing so well, as long as Sam Walker doesn't get to the 11-day stand down. So they're thinking that he gets 11-day stand down, but the Roosters are saying it's not even concussion, it's his neck.
Yeah, right.
Because they gave it a cat one straight away, which was quite surprising. Look, I do think Sam Walker was concussed. Like, I know he was grabbing his neck, but when he went down, it looked like he was a bit dazed. But do I think it was so dramatic that he should be automatically ruled out for 11 days? I don't know if I do agree with that. But, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so fuck, what do I know?
You had me fooled.
Really? Well, just shows you my analysis is quite good there, Guru. Appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, no worries. Also not a doctor, just to be clear, but...
A doctor of rugby league?
Sure, I'll take it.
Just cough for me.
So at least, they've got a... Obviously, his safety, Luke Keary's safety, is number one priority. But also... Got the external reasoning of like, you know what? These guys played well together. We don't need to rush him back. Maybe we give these boys another crack at it.
Juice Panthers Thursday night. It's going to be a cracker. Oh,
geez, that's probably not the best game to pick. I mean, look, they got to play big games regardless, but it's a tough game to get a crack in.
Mate, I personally, I've been a huge fan of Sandon Smith for a long time. I don't reckon that'll rattle him.
I don't necessarily mean him getting rattled. I just mean that, you know, them targeting him.
Yeah, no, yeah. Sorry, I'm not saying you're saying that. I just genuinely, I think Sandon Smith will go there to take on Panthers. I think he'll be okay. I think he's Obviously, the Roosters, they got a pretty rich history of going out and buying halves. I reckon they got their guy in their building, the next guy.
At the very least, they've got a guy that has shown he deserves an opportunity. You know, I thought he was outstanding, and he seemed to compliment him and Sam Walker seemed to gel really, really well and really quickly.
What about when he did like that half volley kick? And you'd say, you know, fluke or whatever, but like, just, like, he wasn't trying to do that exact thing, but he knew what he was doing in that moment.
He was still kicking it to a spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He didn't like fling off the side of his boot. He directly aimed it to his winger and he nailed it. Like,
it was incredible.
I don't know if I disagree, but I think that he intentionally did that.
I'm sure he wasn't trying to put it on that exact spot for Manu to come to, but the thought process was there just to lob it up and drop it in that general area. And the way that he struck it was wild. I really like it.
Because in my head, I'm thinking in his perfect world, it landed where he hoped it would.
Yeah,
you fair. Know what I mean? Yep. Like what he was like, I'm going to try and kick this. If it just gets in that area, that's good. But yeah. My hope is that it lands exactly where it did. And then Manu just to steam onto it the way he did, get the catch. Sam Walker, isn't it just a, you know, you look on the other side of things, the Lachie Ilie situation, but, you know, Sam Walker got dropped last year. He's been outstanding to start the season. And, you know, on the weekend, just showed you that, you know, the path to a really good seven, it's not just a direct line. It really isn't. You can even look at Nathan Cleary. The year in 2019, before they went on their run, a lot of Panthers fans won't admit this. They'll pretend it never happened. They'll just be like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. They were calling for his head and they were calling for Ivan Cleary's head. And if you want to pretend that wasn't happening, you are absolutely lying. And it's just more evidence that the direction to a good half, it's up and down. It takes time. It's everyone's path is different. And maybe Sam Walker, he had that breakout year, just need a little step back to take a step forward. So he started the year that way anyway.
Yeah, and you know, Robbo's got this incredible record of dropping guys back to reserve grade. Did it with Latrell, did it with Manu, did it with Sam Walker. He's just done it with Wong over the last week or so. I mean, even Angus Crichton and Connor Watson dropped them back at the start of the season. They came in, went great guns. Is it just the most sickening thing of all time that with 25 minutes to go, the Roosters can go, let's chuck Angus Crichton on?
It's a joke.
It's off actually its head.
It's actually a joke. Actually a joke. What do you think of the Roosters, Hammy?
Very impressive and good to see their whole backline kind of in full flight. You know, they're another team that can kind of hit you from everywhere. Yes, they're probably playing a little bit of an understrength kind of team, but out of that starting back five, you know, four of them scored tries, three of them got... Three of them scored tries, two of them got doubles. Sam Walker, very impressive as well, as you touched on. They looked real impressive, and it's great to see Dom Young, obviously got rewarded, Team of the Week, just to see those dreadlocks in full flight, steaming down the right touchline.
Does he, at what age does he change his name to Dom Old?
That is a great question.
Because you can't be like little baby forever.
No.
There you go, something to think about.
Something for Dom to think about.
It's like when Michael Youngfield made his debut.
Yeah. Michael Oldfield, shout out to Michael Oldfield.
Still doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
No one, Maddie's nothing.
I thought it was good.
It was good, it just took me.
And it was quite obscure too, like it's not like he's a superstar.
It was a little bit off the beaten
track. Superstar to us.
But I liked that we kind of had to work for it.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked. But hey, super impressive, back to the Chookies. Tedesco as well, seems to be starting to hit his straps again, which is good to see. That was super impressive, and it's going to be interesting to see how they be a bit more of a test for him against the Panthers this week.
You mentioned their backline, mate. Something that stood out for me. Billy Smith was available, played reserve grade, got injured, unfortunately. All the best to Billy. But 18th man, Michael Jennings.
Yeah, wow. Jeez, that's
when
crazy.
Billy Smith was fit and available, they went with Michael Jennings at 18th
They're
man.
So stacked, it's actually ridiculous. It's actually ridiculous. Teddy. Let's talk about Teddy. You'd never count a champion out. Yep. I think people were very quick to say Teddy was done. Still got a long year ahead of him, but he's definitely not done. He's currently leading the Dally M's after three rounds. What I love the most about this game, first two tries, or at least his first two assists or whatever, and it says he only got one assist here. I'm pretty sure he had two ball-playing assists for a try, but anyway, it was ball-playing. And I think that there were many occasions on the weekend where he specifically went out the back and was thinking, not necessarily ball play first, but he wasn't just thinking, I'm going to run no matter what here, or run first. He was thinking, okay, what's my role in this shape? My role is the purpose of the shape is to create space for people outside me. The purpose of the shape actually isn't for me to break the line. And I think you're starting to see Teddy go, okay, instead of me going, I'm so good, I can break the line at times, I'm going, whatever the purpose of the shape is, let me try to execute that first. If I don't, then I will rely on my gifts of explosiveness, of speed. And I thought he's nailed the balance. Like, his balance right now is as good as he's ever been in regards to choosing when to pass, choosing when to run. I thought he was outstanding.
We said it in the preseason, less is more with James Tedesco sometimes. That's sort of what we called for this year, and we're seeing it so far with Teddy. And, yeah, he looks amazing at the moment. I'll tell you who else, Kempe, sort of applying that same thought process. Less is more, Victor Radley.
Yep. Super simple game plan for Victor at the moment. Run hard, tackle hard, a little bit of ball playing.
And it doesn't shock me in the slightest. As soon as the Roosters start to play some good footy, it's when Victor Radley is on the field for 80 minutes and is available.
Yeah. And he's just playing like, it sounds silly, but he's playing calmly.
Yep.
Like, there's not really any situations where you're going, oh, he's about to go across the edge there. He's playing super calm. He's getting through his work. And look, the purist in me is like, you know, I loved the old Victor. You know, that's what made the game entertaining. But the guy that wants to see Radley succeed and become who we know he can become is like, I love that for him.
Is that fatherhood?
Is it? That's the question we have to ask ourselves by the answer by the end of this show. Is fatherhood allowing the ones you love to grow in the way they want to grow? Or is it guiding a young man to greatness? We'll answer that by the end of the show, guys.
Victor Dudley. He's flying.
Very good.
Or is fatherhood getting your head farted on in the middle of the night? We'll never know.
What we'll kill us nos dos.
It's a bit of je ne sais quoi about fatherhood, that's for sure. Okay, so yeah, Teddy, okay, here's an even tougher question for you. Is he the front runner for the New South Wales jersey right now?
I don't know.
And the people that say it's too early, it's frigging round three. We're only 7-8 weeks away, baby.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
He's closer than he was. I'd still have Tommy Turbo.
Josh, sure. Tommy Turbo, you'd go?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'd probably, at the moment, I'd say him and Tommy Turbo and Teddy are neck and neck.
Oh, yeah. Agreed with that.
I might just lean towards Tommy, only because Teddy has been fullback for a few years now and it hasn't worked.
Yep.
But put it this way, he's way further up the pecking order than I think a lot of people thought he would be.
Yep.
I think though that when push comes to shove, and I think it'll be the reality of it, you can play Turbo somewhere else and get a lot out of him.
Would you put him at 14?
Who, Turbo?
Teddy. Would you put Teddy at 14?
Nah. Need two nines.
Okay. You don't reckon he could do a job? 20 minutes? Origin? That motor?
At hooker? Or
yeah, no. Hooker. 20 minutes? If he had to?
Oh, this feels very Brad Fittler-y, Kempe. No.
No,
okay. I'm picking 2 nines.
That's asking the question.
Yep. Yeah. Nah, I don't think so.
It's either fullback or he's out.
Yeah, for me, yes. And I wonder if they'll go, do they go Turbo in the centres again, as they've done many times before?
See, I reckon like you've got so many fucking throbbers in your centre position. It's like,
who are they at the moment? Because I don't think Latrell can be in there based on how he's going at the moment.
Mm.
Who do you think they're
the other? Well, you've got Stephen Crichton.
Yep.
You've got Tungall.
Yep.
Taylan May even. I think he's eligible. Then you've obviously got Bradman Best from last year.
Yeah. Not wrong. Maybe you do get... Yeah, well, I'm with you, though, in that he is definitely closer now than he was end of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding.
Yep.
What do you got there, Matty?
Oh, no, nothing. Okay. I was going to say I'd think about putting Critter as one of the wingers so you can fit in one of those centres and then have Turbo at the back. I can... That'd be the most stacked back line ever.
So you'd go Trell, Tommy, Teddy?
No, I'd go Turbo, Trell at centre, and then put To'o and Critter as the wingers, and then one of those other guns like Tungo or someone can be.
See, I reckon if I'm going to put another winger, it'd be probably at the moment Suoliti and To'o. Mm. Who else has been killing it? Anyway, we'll get into that. Okay, let's talk about Dom Young. Holy moly. He was absolutely outstanding. 12 tackle breaks, 3 line breaks, a try. 2 try assists. Are we looking at a kid that we thought he was good at the Knights, but we actually haven't gotten even close to how good he's going to be?
Yeah, quite possibly. And I'll tell you what, like my biggest fear with Dom Young 12 months ago when we were sitting here was that just defensively, he was just all over the place. I know he'll get all the praise in the world for all of the attacking upside and all the big plays he comes up with, but, mate, defensively, I think he's improved so much in the last 12 months, and I don't think he gets enough credit for it. And, fuck, if I was some of the coaching stuff up there at Newcastle, God, I'd be filthy, because, God, they did some fantastic work with Dom Young. It obviously shows in top try scorer, but, mate, he was an absolute lock every week to bet on the winger against him for a try. And I just think he's improved so much. So full credit to Dom Young on both sides of the ball. No one will talk about the defense, but I think he's done very well there. Attacking wise, he is an absolute juggernaut.
Like, and I genuinely believe, like, we're talking about a guy in his third year of NRL. So this is a guy that could mature in, you know, could improve, you know, 10 to 15%. You look at most NRL players' career trajectory, usually they've got at least another 10 to 15% in them to their peak, you know. So, yeah, he was an absolute handful. Some concerns. Lindsay Smith has done – looks like he's done his hammy.
Collins.
Lindsay Collins, it looked like he's done his hammy. And also, Terrell May did pull up in a quite a – you know, looked like a calf injury. Now, I'm not sure if there's any word on that. If they both are injured with soft tissue, the concern, I guess, is did they – are they too up for the start of the season? Did they come into the season too red hot? Or it could just be purely like luck. Like, you just don't know. But I guess the question has to be asked. Losing May and Collins, that's pretty massive.
Yeah, for sure.
If they lose it, sorry.
If they lose him, yeah.
Collins, I think, definitely looks like he's done his hammy.
Yeah, I think if they can lose one of them, you can obviously bring like Egan Butcher. And Matt, I'm excited to see White get more minutes. He's been unreal the last
two weeks.
I'm a big
fan of White.
When we're up at Redcliffe, I didn't get to watch the Manly Roosters game overly closely, and I went back and watched part of it during the week, and man, he was everywhere. He was very impressive. You got Egan Butcher to come back in. You can play Angus Crichton as a middle. It'll sound bizarre because Lindsay Collins is an Australian front rower, but I think if they lose Terrell May, that'll almost hurt him more. The impact he has coming off the bench is massive.
His consistency is actually crazy at the moment. Like, every week he's giving you an 8 or 9 out of 10. Every week. And it's a very unique thing that he offers. Like, he can guarantee essentially two offloads a game, guarantee a bunch of post contact, very rarely misses tackles, quite error free too for a guy that can offer so much.
When we're talking about all these front row forwards, and it was game 300 in the front row, geez, I thought JWH was good. First game back in a few months, he was very impressive. The stats don't really tell the story, but just everything he does, he's just out to hurt.
Yeah.
I love that in every tackle, he somehow gets himself in a spot where he has to push down on the opposition and get in their face and just niggle on every single play. And, you know, to get to 300 games in the front row is unbelievable. And to me, I look around and I talk to other fan bases and everyone seems to hate JWH. That means he's done his job incredibly well.
Yeah. If you want to know why he has made 300 games in the front row, go and watch the last 10 minutes. The game's over. They're up by 30 points minimum. He's like a dog off the leash. He's looking for contact. He wants something to happen. He's almost hoping that a niggle ignites a fire so that something can happen. And that's like, for a guy in his 300th game for the club, also played so many games in the front row, very easily could have been, you know what, I'm just going to play it safe, simple, get line speed, get back, get line speed. No, he's hunting it. He's hunting it.
When you have a look at, you know, just the history of the Roosters, Anthony Minicello has played the most games for the club, 306. JWH just knocked up 293. So he could become the most capped Rooster of all time in the front row.
And also, he's not a front row that's a stat padder. He's in the tough stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's taking the toughest carriage you can take.
Yep.
And when you have a look at the Roosters, you know, top six or seven players, Orbison, Minicello, Ricketson, Rhea Hargrove's friend Tupu, he's the only one that's played for another club too.
Insane.
He arrived there and just fit in straight away. I think it's 4 grand finals, 3 premierships. Unbelievable.
Quick shout out, Brandon Smith. I thought he was outstanding.
Yes, yeah.
Brandon Smith is outstanding. I'm just trying to look. Anything else on the Roosters?
No. Good to see the Cheese getting into his work.
Okay, now on to the Rabbitohs. Okay. So people that are saying, you know, season's over, dramatic in my opinion. I think it was way too early to tell. People that, I mean, there's not many people that think this, but people that think that there's nothing wrong there, I also think is incorrect. There are big concerns for that club. There is clearly something more than just not good form, in my opinion. Now, I don't think if there's... I'm not saying that something specifically has happened that is dividing them. What I do think is currently the environment at the club is nowhere near where it should be. And we're seeing that with the performances that they're putting on. And I said it after the game last week as well, but there needs to be some really harsh conversations and really honest conversations that it may set people offside. But the thing with the Rabbitohs now is they cannot continue like this, in my opinion. I cannot for the life of me seeing the Rabbitohs make the eight playing this level of footy. Now, we say it every single week since the season started. It's not the fact that they lost to essentially, you know, teams that we expect to be in the top four. It's just the way they're losing. They have not put together even a half of good footy yet. You know, maybe 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. There are real concerns at the club at the moment, in my opinion. I think Lachie Ilias, if you're a Lachie Ilias man, you will be vindicated in he absolutely was not the problem. Because all the... And not to say that the Rabbitohs were saying it was his, like he was the problem, but I do think a lot of fans like to put the blame on his shoulders as to why they're playing the way they did. I think that the evidence has shown that the issues are far deeper than just a seven. So is their season over? Absolutely not. Are there massive concerns in that club that need to be sorted that clearly has nothing to do with the playing roster in regards to the standard of playing roster? Nothing to do with like crazy injuries, in my opinion. Yes, they are missing a couple, but everything to do with clearly the culture isn't where it should be if they want to win a premiership.
I've lost their DNA. They really have. And, you know, I've got a couple of ideas of things that I would do to change the side, but, you know, I'll give you the hot tip. You could play Joey at halfback. If that forward pack isn't going to compete in the NRL, it doesn't matter who you've got in the halves. It doesn't matter who your fullback is. This is a forward pack that is underachieving massively for me, in my opinion. And I look at some of the decisions that have been made around this team this season and even in the last 6 months, and I walk away from South Sydney games having more questions than answers. Like, you take this halfback situation. You watched them for the last 10 weeks of last season. You watched Ilias as the halfback not be able to get them out of that, yeah? Which, Ilias is a young halfback. There's other stars in that team that probably should have had more influence. They didn't. You then had the entire off-season to decide, okay, is Ilias our guy? Are we going to go with Hawkins? Are we going to do something else? They went with Ilias. They also started this season by moving Keon Kalamatangi away from the right-hand side. They moved him over to the left. So they took away the guy that he's worked with, his bodyguard on that edge. Then they get two games in when everyone's underperforming and Ilias is the problem. Mm. He gets dropped. He goes back to reserve grade and has a really good game there. What shit me even more is that mid-game, JD goes, oh, let's swap Host and Keon Kalamatangi.
And I thought Keon, from what I remember, played really, really well.
But the other thing is as well, because he's put Keon on the left, this is what I spoke about in the preseason, because he's put Keon on the left and Keon's got so much upside and ability, they've changed how they attack on the left side as well to try and use Keon.
But also, like, you're affecting Keon's progression as well, because he has to change the way he plays. And I know he had a couple errors or whatever, but I thought out of one forward in that pack that ripped and teared, I thought he ripped and teared.
Yeah, for sure. But, I don't understand the moves that this club has made. Like, if there's one thing you were never going to change... It's the left edge, isn't it?
Mm.
It's been the best left edge in rugby league for a long time. You've got Alex Johnson about to chase down Ken Irvine.
Mm.
We've been looking at that record for 60 years going, no one will ever get near it.
Yeah.
And now they change how they attack on that left edge. It just seems bizarre to me. You know, playing Cam Murray on the edge last week, he's the most complete 13 in rugby league. What are we doing?
Yeah, there are some decisions that I just do not understand. There are absolutely some decisions I don't understand. I actually think... So I thought the Ilias one was probably a couple of weeks too early.
Mm.
But I actually think this has helped Ilias's case. Because let's say he plays this game and they go and get pumped. We're all going to be sitting here... Like, it's not all us. But a lot of Rabbitohs fans... And also Rabbitohs as a club has that scapegoat ready to go. Like, oh yeah, it's the young heart. It's a seven. It's actually helped Ilias because it's like clearly not the seven.
But it's really fucked Hawkins.
Yeah.
Hey, mate, here's a forward pack going backwards. Here's 40,000 against the Roosters on Friday night. Good luck.
It's a very strange time to be bringing in a guy that hasn't played much NRL as the starting seven. And also is very similar to Ilias. So it's not like you're getting a complete. It's not like you're getting a Cooper Cronk and then like a Sam Walker difference.
Yep.
You're getting quite a similar-ish player. And we said before, the problem with the Rabbitohs, I know they didn't score many points here, but the problem was their defence. It wasn't really their attack that was a major concern.
You know, even David Mwale starts the other night. Took him off after 15 minutes. He played a grand total of 22 minutes in that game. Talas Duncan played 22 minutes. Well, like, I've always really liked JD as a coach. I think that, you know, there was last year when he hooked Ilias in that game and everyone gave him all the shit in the world. And I said, fuck, I would have done the same thing. And Ilias played a really good 3 or 4 weeks after that. He was very good. But the decisions that are being made here, I can't work it out. And, you know, Cody Walker's a 5'8". I don't think he's a halfback. But I think that he might be their best option at halfback at the moment.
He may be. If I'm selecting at the moment, I'm selecting 17 of the best defenders in my squad at the moment. Just the toughest defensive side possible. Because, like, well, it's a mixture of two things. This is the second week there the completion rate's been really poor. 69-70% completion rate. And you're never going to get close to winning games with that unless you're, a Brisbane Broncos that have, like, crazy... That's just the way they play. But the Rabbitohs don't play like that. They're not... Ironically, even though they've got incredible flair in Walker and Trell, they're actually quite a structured side, getting to points on the field and stripping people of numbers.
That's the other decision that I couldn't make sense of. Like, last week he moved Cam Murray to the edge and he looked around at the squad and said, who's the guy to play 13? Shaq Mitchell's my guy. Misses the 17 this week?
Yeah, there's a lot that's...
And that's the whole thing. Like I said before, the forward pack needs to stand up. You have a look at reserve grade. Shaq Mitchell and Michael Cheekham are the only first graders down there. But they don't really have much threat to swap them over for guys.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Amy?
Are they a little bit stuck now, is what I reckon? Now that they've brought in Hawkins, you can't just have him in for 1 week and then sack him off again, can you? They're going to have to give him a couple of weeks to show what he's got. Yeah, can't really make sense of some of that sort of stuff as well. Havili starting as well over Cook. What did you kind of make of that?
Look, I didn't mind that if you're going to go down the route of get Havili on there to get through the shit work.
Yep.
If that's the reason, then I'm like, you know what? That's a relatively decent tactical decision. But if you're doing it to punish Cook, I disagree. I actually don't think Cook's been that bad, in my opinion.
I would assume it was tactical.
Surely.
Yeah, and I think that's a good move. I really like that move. They just got blown off the park early, unfortunately. But I think it makes sense, mate. Like, Damien Cook's getting older. You quite often have a look at Damien Cook's stats at the end of each game, and he's got 50 tackles, but he's got 4 or 5 missed. And vast majority of the time, 4 of those 5 missed are in the last 20 minutes.
Mm.
Because he's been through so much work earlier. I really like the move of playing Havili in the first 20 minutes, then using him as a middle forward later. I mean, it didn't pay dividends in this game, obviously, but I actually think that's good coaching.
Yeah, and we've been a fan of that kind of rotation of having that defensive hooker on for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
In regards to some positives for the game, I thought Jackie Whiten was outstanding. And if there's one shining beacon that you can look to and go, well, there's two. Cam Murray worked his ass off, but we get that. We expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Jackie Whiten is leading from the front with his actions. He's like ripping and tearing. I actually thought he gave Joey Manu some big problems at times there. And so like hopefully that can be the catalyst of like, boys, if our recruit is bringing this kind of energy, we got to bring similar energy. Yeah. But do they need to shake things up even more? Do they need to move some key positions? Like, does Trell need to consider in the centres? You know, you've got Gray down in reserve grade that looked absolutely electric on the weekend. Or, you know, do they put Jackie Whiten at 6 to shore up their, like, you know, is there big changes that need to be made?
Look, I would be making changes. I would probably bring Jai Gray up to first grade. I would probably play him at 5'8", and I'd leave Cody Walker at 7. I would hand the keys to him. I love the idea of playing Jack there, mate, but the reality is if Jack's not playing centre, who is?
Mm.
Richie Kenner, like, with all due respect to him, has shown defensively he's just not up to that role. Teams will just pick him out and go at him there. But, mate, at the end of the day, you do whatever the fuck you want to the spine. If your pack's going to play like how they have been, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, and that's why I am, like, I'm asking the question. But I'm reluctant to make changes to the back line until their forward pack is sorted.
Yeah.
And their forward, like, you know, Kepi had another error coming on the field, which is really disappointing because, you know, his first game he was incredible. Havili had a couple errors, and they're just not working as a pack. Like their line speed isn't there. Defensively, as you said, it's just the DNA. They don't look like Southside. They don't look like a Southside when they're playing. There's no real a type of rugby league that they're playing.
Mate, I thought it was the most frustrating moment of the entire weekend. And they go in at halftime, they're getting absolutely trounced. You're looking for something to bounce back. They couldn't get past second tackle in the second half. Like it was.
What I don't get is like with these errors, it's a very simple. Like surely JD is being harsher on them when they make these errors. For them to continue to come out and drop balls, that's not a talent thing. That's a purely what your expectations are as a player. And look, I get it if you go through a little patch or whatever, but it's been quite a while now. I know they completed okay round one, but their errors, weren't they had the worst completion rate or something last year? Something was really bad with them last year.
As you said, just their effort areas, mate. If you take the Canberra Raiders' effort and attitude, put it in this bunny squad, you're a shit in top four side.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, and there's no questioning it. But they're just, you know, I always look back to last year, and a trend I noticed with South Sydney, and me and Matty spoke about it quite a bit last year, you had Harm, Sele and Totola, and when one of them was out, South Sydney just couldn't fire a shot. But I sort of thought, you know what, Harm, Sele, he's gone, but they'll move Jairo into the middle, and that'll cover a lot. They ended up playing Arrow on the edge, they've now lost him, and they need another forward to stand up. Totola can't do it all on his own.
And I mean, you're probably hoping that Kepi would be that guy, but unfortunately the last two games, he just, what do you got there, Matty?
They averaged 11 errors last year, which actually in comparison wasn't the worst, but they're currently got the most errors this year.
So they're like mid-table for errors last year and now they've got the worst errors this year.
Yeah.
And that's where as well, like if South Sydney are a little bit similar to the Broncos for me. If they're making errors, on paper it doesn't look good. And I go, okay, but how are they making those errors? They move the football around, they take risks in their game. If they're making errors like that, I can sort of wear it. They're making errors going one out hit ups.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
That's the frustrating thing. Like they're not even giving themselves an opportunity to play some decent football. They're standing in their own way.
And like what I don't understand is like surely they should be too scared to make those errors. Like me personally, like I was too scared to like let the team down, to let the coach down, and that's what's surprising me at the moment is that they're definitely not okay with making the errors, but is there enough of a punishment for the errors? I don't know whether there is. Is JD pushing the standards hard enough? But okay, you look at the Storm. A lot of the time, it looks like a lot of those blokes are shit scared to make an error because Bellyache will lose his mind. Now, I understand Bellyache and JD are different. Bellyache's one of the greatest all time. I get that. But I just wonder, is there enough onus on the little things in the game at the moment with South?
And this is where...
And it's just a question. We'll never know.
Yeah.
We can sit here. All we can do is judge the results. And at the moment, they've got the most errors of any club in the NRL for this year.
You know, you have a look at... You know, he's dropped a number of guys this year in only three games. He dropped Gagai after one game. Kennar's been dropped. All rookies.
Yeah.
There's no one walking into Heffron on a Monday morning going, oh, fuck, I'm under a bit of pressure here.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what would happen if he walked in on Monday and said... Latrell, Cody, you're playing reserve grade this week. That's it. I wonder if he would get a response out of them there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they deserve it or I would do that, but something's got to change, surely.
Something's got to change. I think we will see that if we get to, like, I don't know, round six or seven and this is still continuing. I do think there'll be extreme, like, dramatic droppings.
Yeah, but even, like...
Even if they don't deserve it, it's just to send a message.
Yeah, send a message. Because, and once again, I think it all comes down to the forward pack, though.
Yeah,
that's what they've just got to stand up. They've got
concern
to,
is though is like who?
Well, that's and mate, that's the biggest problem. Until Jairo gets back, I don't know who it's going to be. Cam Murray can't possibly do anything more than what Cam Murray is doing. Like,
mate, that bloke deserves a better. Holy!
Then next up, Good Friday. They got the Dogs,
who looked great.
They did look good.
Yeah,
how's this?
I know it's the Titans, but
yeah. How's this for the market though? Rabbitohs $1.48 favourites. Dogs $2.66. Based on what we saw on the weekend.
But I'm honestly...
I'll be letting the dogs out.
It's not even what we've seen on the weekend. It's what we've seen this month.
Well, okay. Here's a good analogy or comparison. Even when the Dogs lost their first two rounds, what did we all say? They ripped and teared.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They ripped and teared. Can we say that this Rabbitohs side is ripping and tearing as much as they should be? I don't think
so. Well, they're giving away penalties on the first tackle of the game. Like that, to me, is a reflection of
ill discipline,
the attitude and ill discipline.
And that's the hard thing for a coach. And again, we don't know if this is the case, but if it is the case that JD has been more of a relaxed coach and almost a bit in the Wayne Bennett mold, maybe tried to be, the hard thing is once you've set the standard of I'm a relaxed coach, very hard to now turn into, no, I'm a absolute dictator coach.
And this is what makes it so difficult coming in after Wayne, because no one else can do it the way that Wayne does it. No one else has the runs on the board like Wayne does. And, you know, you sit there, you know, everyone says, oh, do an apprenticeship under Wayne. Good as gold. The bloke says three words.
Yeah.
Like, he does everything by actions. Like, from what I've gathered from talking, his aura
does most of the work. Yeah.
And he's earned that, and credit to Wayne. But, geez, it's hard to come in after him. Like, even this Dolphin side, like, you look at them and go, fuck, they're resilient, they're tough, they punch above their weight. Like, very interesting to see how Wolf goes next year.
Mm.
It's going to be very – it's a tough gig.
That's probably the hardest follow-up in the comp.
It, without a doubt, is. It's the farthest, Jesus. Got a bit of rain about me. It's the hardest follow-up in rugby league history.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, definitely problems at the Rabbitohs. I guess the hard thing trying to, you know, give your opinion on it is so many decisions have been made that don't seem to follow a trend that it's hard to identify, like, what exactly is the problem.
Yeah.
But if I had to guess, it does look like a side that is absolutely not meeting the standard that you would expect of a premiership threat side. If, put it this way, if I went to their training for a couple of weeks, are they training with the same intensity as Penrith, as Storm? When I say intensity, I don't necessarily mean the fitness of things. I mean a drop ball here, a drop ball there, all the little tiny things that, you know, you should be pulling up. Well, at least the better sides, the premiership sides, probably do pull up. Are they doing it at training? I don't know if they are.
Mate, I would love to see Canterbury kick off on Friday, front row return, then I'd love to see just Jack and Latrell get the next two hit-ups.
Yeah.
And just run through a fucking brick wall.
Yeah.
You'll earn a penalty. You're the two hardest guys to tackle in this competition just about. And just change the momentum for South Sydney.
And it's like, it's not even about the result. It's just, and like, I get it from you, when you're in Terrell's mind, you're probably sitting there going, yeah, but I'm the tip of the spear. I'm the guy that, I'm the Ferrari. I'm the guy that gets us all the points. Yes, he absolutely is that guy. But right now your team needs the other guy, which is 20 tough carries a game. Well, not 20, 15 tough carries in the game just to set the tone and let them know, boys, unless you start doing this, I can't be the tip of the spear and I'm being wasted out here. So I'm going to come in and do it to show you and to help you, but at some point you're going to have to follow my lead. I think Trell would.
Man, you get Latrell early, just taking it up and just doing what he normally doesn't do, and he can just turn momentum in this side. He's got the potential to turn a season in a moment.
Easily. And he's probably the only guy in that side that can do it.
Yep.
He's probably the only – it's on his shoulders. And this is why, you know, he's a superstar. He's one of the greatest outside backs we've seen. But, you know, that comes with a responsibility too. There's high expectations. And so it could be a defining moment for his career where he does step up and do something incredible. And if there is one guy that has the talent to do it, it's Trell. But it needs to happen sooner rather than later, because if they thought the pressure was a lot now, shit, wait till round 10 and you're sitting, you know.
Mate, it needs to happen on Friday at 4:06 p.m. He needs to have influence straight away, because I said it last week. They just got trounced by 40 points by the Roosters. They played the Bulldogs this week. They're favourites to win that. It's Good Friday. Anything could happen there. They then go Warriors, Sharks, bye, Storm, Panthers. They could be sitting in round 9, 0-8. If they don't get this sorted very quickly.
And I think
they've also got the ability to be sitting in round 9 and 4-4 all of a sudden out of fucking nowhere.
And it's all good. Everything's fine. I also think, you know, we're putting, did you say 30? Yeah. Oh, fuck. And we're also, I think also onus needs to be put on JD that he needs to.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Be decisive too. Like, we can sit here and say, yep, Trell and Cody Walker need to lift them out of this 100%. But also JD needs to be decisive and make the correct decisions, in my opinion. And what are the correct decisions? I'm going to have a different opinion to him. But I do think that he has made coaching decisions that haven't necessarily been the right decisions. Yep. Even if you want to take out the Ilya situation, was it a week early? Was it not a week early? Even the Keon situation, like changing him halfway through the game, it's confusing to Keon. Like, what side is he? Is he on the left? Is he on the right? There's a lot of different things. Like, you know, you get 2 weeks in, now Cookie's coming off the bench. Like, there are a lot of decisions. You've got Cam Murray heading to an edge. Talis Duncan, is he the next great forward that we have, or is he not? Because it doesn't look like they're fully backing him in. And yet last week, didn't he play quite a few minutes last week?
He played about 45 last week.
Yeah, so last week he plays 45. And then this week he plays 24 this week. And unless he's injured, apologies if he's injured, but this is all conflicting. Like, and am I talking out of school, or does it seem conflicting?
No, yeah. And he had a disrupted preseason, what I was told last week. But, mate, you got to play like Talis Duncan. Your back's against the wall at the moment. You just need to let the kid rip and tear.
Yeah, just trust him. Just trust him. Like, what else? He's got nothing else to lose.
What do you got to lose?
You got no other forwards. And also, I rate Talis Duncan. You're done.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.